You're invited to hear again the word of the prophet Jeremiah, given to us by God. The word that came to him from the Lord reads, "Stand at the gate of the Lord's house, and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, 'This is the temple of the Lord.' If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live. You are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house and say, 'We are safe, safe to do all these detestable things'? Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching." Thus declares the word of the Lord. This is peace to you from God, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I invite you to join me in prayer. Holy and gracious God, God of all mercy, God of recourse unto the law, open our eyes to your holy will and make us to be those people who seek that will according to your mandate. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Moses was known as the lawgiver, the one who brought the law to the people. He was the one who carried the tablets of stone and brought the 10 words to the people. There were other demands that God put on this chosen lot, ones that served to create in them discipline, ones that were designed to help preserve their civil well-being as a nation and to guide them and to show them a way of repentance. This for the sake of the forgiveness of their sins. Historically, there are somewhere over 630 different mandates, laws, civil commandments that have been handed down to these people through Moses. But chief among them is that first set, those 10 words that would define them as children of the Father in heaven. Define them as people who would have but one God, who would honor his name and his day, who would carry out their faithfulness in relationships to their loved ones and neighbors. When you look at the history of God's people, they've been successful at keeping such laws. The Torah, this whole collection, was to serve, as Luther would say, as their curb, as their mirror, as their guide. And they would drop the ball time and again. And it would cost them dearly. They would be chastised. There would be repeated calls. But finally, there was exile and dispersion. Along the way, men like Jeremiah would come with these words. And many times the words were a harsh rebuke for these people who walked the wrong way. The idea behind the prophet's preaching was to call these people to repent of their sin, to turn away. Otherwise, they will have to face the wrath of their Yahweh God. Sometimes it worked for a while, but more often it was lost to hearts that were hardened by sin, to ears that were closed to the word, to people who chose to seek the burden of God's wrath rather than the wonders of his grace. They were occupied in things other than God's law. Their actions were unjust. They were oppressive people. Innocent people suffered under their hand. Rose up as thieves and murderers and adulterers and liars and worshipers of idols. And they did all these detestable things that the Almighty said, stop. And the heavy hand of God was made known. And he tells them, I am watching. Some of you know that I'm sort of a movie buff. And I like some of these movies, the police the drama, detective guys in the room with the detective. And one side of the room is just a giant mirror. Oh, y'all know it's not a mirror. Because on the other side are more detectives. And they're watching. And they're listening. They're observing in the anteroom what's going on. We are told that God watches us. Nothing is lost to his sight. Nothing is lost in whatever thought, word, or deed that we are. It's all kept by God. And he sees it. And we can't fool him. We cannot trick God. We cannot hide our sinfulness from him. And that's not a nice thing to know. It's a little bit scary to understand that God knows everything about us. When he came to Jeremiah with his call, he told Jeremiah, I have known you since before you were born. God knows us eternally. And it's not a pleasant idea to understand that God knows everything about us. All the warts, all the blemishes, all the breaching of his law. It's uncomfortable to stop and take stock of the ways that are always under God's observation. His all-seeing eye, this is nothing. And that should humble his children. And we are bid to follow his commandments. And when we don't, we know how God will respond. Because unrepentance means doom. Think about the biblical history of God's chosen. You go back as far as Noah. He's building an ark because sin has become so rampant and outrageous that God can no longer tolerate the wickedness of the sinful burden in this world. And he wipes everyone out. Ark. Do you suppose Noah had an opportunity when people would come by and say, do you know why I'm building this ark? Do you understand what God says? In every hammering of a nail and every slapping of tar and pitch, he says, if you don't repent, you're going to die. But it appears that no one listened. And they died. Favorite character in the Bible, because he's just like me, went to Nineveh to preach the same message, telling the Ninevites if they don't repent, they will face the wrath of Almighty God. Jonah did not want to do that. He ran away. But he didn't succeed in it. And God said, you're going to do what I tell you to do, and you do it the way I said. And the Ninevites repent. They heed God's warning. And they are not destroyed. And all the prophets spoke exactly the same message. All of them had the same words. God is not pleased with your law breaking. He wants you to turn from that sin and be saved. And we know what happened. Time and again, it didn't work. Some did repent. Most did not. John the Baptist was the last called prophet of God. And he came to the people with this message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent or die. Some repented. Many did not. And we know what future is laid out for them who do not. Darkness, crying, gnashing of teeth. Jesus does not change the message. He calls for the saved, saying those who believe are saved. And his cross has been provided. We turn away from the cross to ignore the call to repent. It will cost you dearly. I've had a lot of confirmation classes over the years, and they always started out the same way. After the introductions and the greetings, there would be a prayer, and then we would start in on the lessons. The first lesson was about the law. The law is not going to save you. The law of God is there for your sake. It is designed to show you what you're supposed to be like. The mission of a child of God, according to one who has one God, who honors that God in his name and his day, who holds on to carrying out your life according to the treatment of others, that you would honor your parents, that you would not murder or steal or lie. That's what a child of God does. He lives that way, free of the burden of the breaking of the law. To be a law-abiding child of God, of that call, no less than the children of Israel in Jeremiah's day, no less than the people of John the Baptist's day and Jesus' day when he walked this earth, we need to be reminded of the need for the repentance that God offers and the promise he makes. In the first of his three letters, John says this to the people he addresses as dear children. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. And his word has no place in our life. I don't know how many times you've heard that exhortation from John's little letter. But it never loses its reality. It never falls short. It never loses this matter. There's no denying. There's no trying to outguess God. There's no falling upon the law to be saved. The law shows us what we need, calls us to repent or be lost. And that's always been the message. It will always be the message. Because we, in this modern day, are that much closer to the coming of the kingdom of God. Out here to fend for ourselves, he shows us the recourse that comes through the cross of his Son. The full message of John reads this way, "Now, dear children, I write this so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, this Jesus, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin and the sins of the whole world." And when we hearken back to Jeremiah, we find this picture of people turning God's house into a den of robbers. Of people who ridiculed the Lord Almighty by the way they treat his house. Jesus comes to the temple with the eyes of Jeremiah. Not too long before he is gone to the cross, he purges the temple of these buyers and sellers and reminds them that this is a house of prayer. Not commerce, detestable ways and means of making God's house a sham. People of Jeremiah's day had already done it, and now they're doing it again. It doesn't sit well with the religious leadership. They have a hand in this business in the temple. And it adds fuel to their fire of desire to get rid of this man. And the cross is the culmination of their desire. In the end, the law is to condemn an innocent man. The irony is that Jesus is the only one who perfectly fulfills all the law of God. And it costs him his life. Which brings us to why we are here. The cause of the cross was the breaking of the law. And with that was the promise that God offered up to all of creation. The law breaking overwhelmed this creation at the time of the flood. The law breaking rose up quickly afterwards through the son of Noah. And then this need for the confusion of language at battle, because the people refused to disperse as God. Slavery and exile, and they are dispersed in the midst of the persistent call to repent. And in most cases, it goes unheeded. And now Jesus takes this burden of the law breaking upon himself and becomes sin. And the wrath of God is brutally applied to the one who never broke a single rule. We think about the law, we know its purpose, to curb rampant sin. We know that for us as believers, it is a reflection and calls us to repent. And we know that it is a guide to help us to live in service to God according to His will. And Lent is here to draw us to that close, to that cross, and to that grave, that we might keep our hearts and minds on Christ Jesus and hold Him. Amen.